Populus Sion, ecce Dominus venir, a salvandas gentes, people of Zion, behold, the Lord shall come to save the nations. We are already in the second Sunday of Advent. We are closer to our salvation than we first came to believe, as St. Paul reminds us. And of course, the liturgy of today's Mass reminds us that all of the sacred scripture, which is not for any one person to interpret or to give it to us, it is God's and the Church. All of these things were written. In particular, he's referring, St. Paul, to the Romans here, to the whole Old Testament. And of course, it's very important for us to read the scripture, but always remember that only the Church is the authentic interpreter of the scripture, not any one individual or theologian or school of theologians. It is for the Church, especially in the sacred councils and the holy fathers who speak infallibly. And so today we meet, in a sense, once again, though not for the first time for us, but we are supposed to pretend it is. We meet a particular person who is very important to the Church, who is very important to us, to salvation history. We meet the person of St. John the Baptist. And as some of you have been studying with me in the last few weeks, those who are closest to Christ cannot be touched, cannot be imbued, as we are, with sin. They must be immaculate. And thus, who are those who are closest to Christ? First of all, she who gave him human life, who agreed to the request of God through the archangel St. Gabriel. Let it be done unto me according to thy word. And at that moment, the Holy Spirit came upon her, and she conceived the eternal Son of God, who became the Son of Man, the Son of Mary. So she was the closest. So there was no way that she could be imbued in any way by sin. And thus tomorrow we celebrate the feast, the solemn feast of the Immaculate Conception. She was conceived without sin. At the moment of her conception, God put his hands, his infinite and powerful hands, and when she was conceived in the womb of St. Anne, no sin touched her. Never, ever, ever. And of course, not only did it not touch her at the moment of her conception, but it did not touch her ever. She never sinned. And then who is next in the order of, because everything is a hierarchy. We must remember that. Saint Joseph, her most chaste spouse, the putative father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is not his father. Putative, thought of. How can he be the custodian of the Blessed Virgin Mary? And how can he be the foster father of the Son of God if he is in sin? And so tradition holds, though it is not proclaimed infallibly, not yet. If ever I become a pope, I will, but I'm not going to be, thank God for me. For you too, maybe. I'll excommunicate the whole lot of you. But anyway, St. Joseph, at the moment after his conception in the womb of his mother, he is freed from original sin. He is born immaculate, not conceived, but born immaculate. And then, who else do we have that is closest to Jesus? We meet him today, I'll give you a hint, St. John the Baptist. He was freed from original sin by the coming, the mission of the Blessed Mother to his home at Ain Karim. He is the son, the natural son of St. Zachary and of St. Elizabeth, the cousin, somehow or other, of the Blessed Mother. Most likely, she was a cousin to either St. Joachim or St. Anne. She was in her 70s. Mary was about 14. And she comes. The angel tells her, Elizabeth, thy kinswoman is with child. Who could have heard this? An old lady. So some of you who are here, be careful. Because by the power of God, even if you're old, you can still have a child. He just tells her. And what does Mary do? That's why the Visitation is one of my favorite mysteries. The Blessed Mother just asks about herself, how can this be, since I do not know man? And we shall see this later on this season. If she had planned to have relations with any man, that question would have been absolutely ludicrous and stupid. And let me tell you, if there's one person who is not ludicrous or stupid, it's the Blessed Mother. After God, she knows more than anybody else, than all the popes all put together. Even St. Ambrose, the great father of the church, whose feast is today. And then she immediately goes, there's something biting me. It must be the devil. Anyway, she goes immediately to Ain Karim. Charity. The Blessed Mother is a mother of pure love. We say this, especially when we celebrate the Mass of the Immaculate Conception on First Saturdays and so forth. She's the mother of pure love. And pure love does not count the cost. We count the cost because we are not pure love. We are really very great sinners, and we need to repent. And you need to repent, or else when you die, you know what awaits you. And so she rushes. And St. Joseph, who doesn't understand anything yet, some things, yes, he takes her to Ain Karim from Nazareth. Not a short journey. On a mule or a donkey. We don't know which for sure. Maybe it's the same mule that's in the manger. And she comes. And the minute she sees Elizabeth, she greets her, Shalom! Peace. She is the true giver of peace because it comes from Jesus Christ who is in her womb. And at that very moment, Elizabeth shouts, by the Holy Spirit. And you know, those who say they believe in the scriptures and blah, 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 why don't they read this? Why do they not understand this? And by the Holy Spirit of God, she says, the moment the greeting of thy mouth was heard in my ears, the child in my womb leapt for joy. Why did he leap for joy? The word of the Blessed Mother, who carried the word of God in her womb, unbeknownst to almost anybody. St. Joseph knew, after this, St. Elizabeth and St. Zachary knew. He comes through her. Just as he still comes through her. She is the mediatrix of all graces. And any idiot who says that she's not, has a warm welcome when he dies. And I don't mean Argentina. That lecherous old cardinal. You know, hell is filled with popes and cardinals and bishops and priests too. God help me. I don't plan to go there, by the way. I'm already living my hell here. So she is a mediatrix of all graces. And because through her, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Savior comes, she is a co-redemptrix of all mankind. And I hate to say this, but if Benedict had not been such a coward, this would not be a problem today. He did a lot of good things, but like all saints, and he's not a saint yet, they make a lot of mistakes. Look at St. Paul VI. Look at St. John Paul II. A lot of mistakes. So, she is the co-redemptrix of all mankind, the mediatrix of all graces. And the grace comes from her to Elizabeth, to the child in her womb, St. John the Baptist, who is to be the next closest person to Jesus. He cannot be touched by sin. He is a precursor, the last prophet of the Old Testament, the newest prophet of the New Testament. And so he leaps for joy. And at that moment, by the word of Mary, he is freed from sin. Now, what a wonderful thing that is. And it's in the Scriptures. And those who read the Scriptures and don't see this are absolutely blind. Let's pray for them. Because our future is not very good. It's not cold, let me tell you. And so, St. John the Baptist. And then 30 years on down, we have him here again. And St. John was captured because he dared to tell Herod that he was living in sin with his sister-in-law. You know, imagine if today bishops and popes would tell people who are living in sin, you're living in sin, you're going to hell, repent and change. But no, there are too many millions of dollars involved in that. And that's what it's all about, by the way. Power and money. And I don't care if you don't give me any money ever. I have to say the truth and preach the truth and proclaim the truth. Would that every bishop and priest and every pope would proclaim the truth. And we need to pray for Pope Leo, who is surrounded by enemies who are trying to destroy the faith. And so, St. John comes. And he tells the truth. The truth. That is the thing. The truth. People don't want to hear the truth. They're afraid of the truth. They hate he who says the truth. And so he is put in prison. And of course, you know, eventually the wicked Herodias and her filthy daughter ask for his head, and he is a martyr. He's the first martyr of the New Testament, even before anybody else. The Holy Innocents at Bethlehem. But it was their mothers who made the decision, not they. Now, how many mothers would prefer to have their children die than to deny the truth? Would you? And so, his head is cut off, he's decapitated, and it's in Rome, in this church of Pope St. Sylvester I. And then, he says, look at all the things that are going on. He says this to the people who are asking. The dead rise to life, lepers are cleansed, cripples are leaping around like gazelles in the mountains. And the gospel is preached. The gospel, which is the truth. The truth. The truth! So what do you want? What did you go out to the desert to see? A king and fine clothes and jewels and a crown? No. St. John the Baptist, who is holy, And he's holy only because he is immaculate. He's dressed in the furs of camels. First of all, they're not very comfortable. They're scratchy. And then around, nobody had anything with which to kill the fleas and the ticks. So he was being bitten. Don't think that it was a fun ride. It was not. And his belt is of leather. Now the nobility had belts of silk and satin. St. John the Baptist, leather, which was the poorest of the poorest. Leather was cheap or free. And he is locust and wild honey. Now locust was not a grasshopper. It was another kind of animal or plant. And wild honey, which because it was not processed, it was not as tasty as the honey that we have today. So his life was one of sacrifice. And then God says to his Son, Jesus Christ, and to us, I send my angel before thee, before thy face, to prepare thy way before, behold. And this angel, remember the word angel in Greek, and this was written in Greek, angelos means messenger. All the angels are messengers of God. There are other things too, but they're messengers. St. John the Baptist was the messenger of God. He comes to point out, behold, he comes. He comes to save us. Repent, believe, and be saved. And so I repeat to you, we're celebrating Christmas and we have this magnificent Spanish Belén, which is much better than the Italian ones, by the way. The Italian ones have pigs and sausages. Christ would never have had anything to do with pigs and sausages. It was against the law of God. But anyway, that's all right. And we meditate. That's what it's here for. To meditate on the glory of God, on the humility of God, on the love of God who is born for us to save us from our sins. And so today we unite ourselves to those closest to him, to Mary most holy, the Mother of God, the mediatrix of all graces, the co-redemptrix of mankind. And we unite ourselves to the great and wonderful Saint Joseph, after Mary, the highest saint, the most powerful saint in the church. Especially I ask you men to consecrate yourselves to Saint Joseph, to love him, to venerate him, and to follow his example. And then to Saint John the Baptist. And to him we pray in a very special way for vocations to the priesthood and the religious life, that many more will come after me to follow Christ, to preach Christ, to say to the people of this earth and of this world, repent, for he cometh to save thy soul. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.